I recently saw a promotional ad on Facebook for a show on TV that purported to have as its focus wolves in Alaska. Frankly, that sounds like a mighty fine premise for a show. But as I was watching the promo, one particular clip caught my eye. In it, you could see three wolves in an open area running down an elk. Fact is, Alaska has elk and Alaska has wolves. But unlike wolves, Alaska's elk are fairly concentrated in just a few spots, which I'll mention in a bit. And in only one of those spots do elk and wolves overlap at all, which makes me suspicious. There's at least a chance that particular clip of footage happened somewhere else, rather than here. Somewhere that elk and wolves overlap with greater abundance and over a greater range. Though I could be wrong. Even so, when we think of members of the deer family in Alaska, we likely think of caribou or moose, which are both much, much more numerous and widespread. It's a lot easier, perhaps, from an Alaskan standpoint, to visualize a pack of wolves taking down a moose. We do have other deer family members, though, including Sitka black-tailed deer and elk. While elk are not a Bristol-based species, they are an Alaskan species, and that video clip, combined with the project I'm going to tackle, put me in mind of elk. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. In mentioning deer family members in Alaska, and before we get around to talking about elk, there have been a number of documented occurrences of late of mule deer in the interior and around Fairbanks. So there's yet another potential representative, though any true numbers for mule deer are likely very, very low. Elk, on the other hand, unless you're a dyed-in-the-wool hunter, you might not realize we have elk in our state, and that would be understandable. Even though they've been around for a while, there still aren't many, and they aren't found in very many places. Historically speaking, fossil evidence tells us that there was a subspecies of elk that once existed in the interior a long time ago, specifically during the Pleistocene period. However, those have no connection to what we have here today. All of the elk currently in Alaska were brought up from the Pacific Northwest during the last century. Elk were successfully introduced to Afognak Island near Kodiak in 1928. These elk have also spread to nearby Raspberry Island and have been there ever since. In 1987, more elk, 33 Roosevelt elk and 17 Rocky Mountain elk, were captured in Oregon and released on Edelin Island near Petersburg. These elk have dispersed just a bit too, moving across to Zarembo Island and some of the smaller islands near these two. But that's it for elk in Alaska. Small populations near Kodiak, and also in the southeast. I mentioned two subspecies there, Roosevelt and Rocky Mountain. Roosevelt elk are larger, slightly darker in color, and have shorter, thicker antlers than Rocky Mountain elk. Across North America, elk are plentiful, and the most common type is the Rocky Mountain subspecies. As members of the deer family, elk share many of the same physical traits you'd see with moose and caribou. They are large animals, second only to moose and deer family body size on our continent. Adult bulls are often over 1,000 pounds and can exceed that number by several hundred pounds. They have a grayish to light brown body with a large, light-colored rump patch. The hair on the neck, head, and legs is a darker brown. Only the males have antlers, which in adult males are considered regal in appearance by many, with heavy mane beams sweeping gracefully back over the shoulders and large spikes pointing upward. Elk require large amounts of food, due to their size and also for their social behaviors during their mating season. During the warmer months, elk are mainly grazers, feeding on grasses and leafy vegetation. By late fall, they become browsers. In mentioning behaviors related to mating, well, I've never elk hunted, but I'd love to give it a whirl someday. I have had friends who are rabid, and that is the right word, elk hunters. Their eyes glaze over when talking about hunting elk, and a lot of that is tied to hunting the rut, mating season, and trying to call in mature bulls. Beginning in August, bands of elk congregate and form herds consisting mainly of cows, calves, yearlings, and occasionally with a single mature bull. Elsewhere, but not far off, small herds of mature bulls congregate as well. During September, the bulls join up with the main herds and the rut commences. Mature bulls challenge each other vocally, emitting a high-pitched whistle or bugle that you'd not guess could come from such a large animal. These are the sounds hunters try to replicate, to try and fool a mature bull into forgetting himself and coming within range for a shot. As with moose, some of these challenge sessions can take on a physical turn, with large bulls squaring off and using their antlers to try and establish dominance and to win the right to mate, while protecting whatever harem of cows they've managed to cobble together. Smaller bulls, often referred to as satellite bulls, will move in and attempt to steal away cows while the larger bulls fight. By mid to late fall, most breeding activities have reached a conclusion. The herds begin to break up into smaller bands as they move into preferred wintering areas. Winter months are spent at lower elevations, because living is easier. Here in Alaska, they are also found in dense spruce forest and small openings near the coastline, searching for food and away from any heavy snowfall. The fruits of those reproductive efforts happen in the spring, with elk calves being born in late May or early June. This is a good time for birthing, as there's plenty of food that's available and the weather is normally mild. Calves, when born, are a light brown with white spots that actually makes for a decent camouflage in the areas where they're found. A few days after giving birth, the cow joins up with other cows with calves. It's not uncommon for single cows to babysit a number of calves while the other cows seek food. As summer warms up, they move up in elevation and away from the coast. Higher elevations provide some relief from biting insects, in the same way the surf does that for caribou around here. As summer moves on, the calves are weaned and begin to feed on vegetation for themselves. I mentioned during the introduction that two things put elk into my mind lately. One was that video clip of wolves chasing down an elk. The other was a buddy of mine who was successful in harvesting a bull elk on a Fognak Island last October. He recently got to me the antlers, and I'm going to put together an antler mount for him. It was, by some standards, a modest bull, 4x4 in orientation, meaning it had 4 points to a side. Large males are often 6x6 or slightly larger. That said, his accomplishment was, in my mind, substantial, and for a number of reasons. Because Alaskan elk populations are small, predictably the number of permits are limited, so just scoring a permit is quite a feat. After that, the logistics can be enough to make one weep, lining up the flights and hoping for the weather needed to make a hunt happen. In fact, it did not go quite as planned for my buddy. He made it to Kodiak and then spent something like 4 days waiting for the weather to break for the air taxi to take him to where he planned to hunt. And then finally, once there, the hunting takes place in some truly ghastly environmental conditions. Forests and undergrowth so thick you can barely walk through, and the understory stuff was sharp and attacking. Add to that the presence of bears, and it makes concentrating on even finding an elk, well, they are talented at evading detection from what I understand, a challenge. Despite that, my buddy scored on a 4x4 bull with a single shot from a fair distance, and that was followed by a 2-mile pack to get all the meat back to the pickup site. For what it's worth, if you're thinking you'd like to check into hunting elk in Alaska, and some of you probably have, these are the numbers from last year's elk season. For the area in the southeast, 71 permits were issued, 34 folks actually hunted, and only 2 scored on an elk, for a success rate of 6%. A Fognak and Raspberry Islands fared better, though they were far from a sure thing. 228 permits were issued, 121 hunters actually took to the field, 36 animals were harvested, for a success rate of 30%, my buddy's bull being one of them. My first experience with anything real tied to elk happened during my sophomore year, well, the first one, of college. My roommate for the first half of that year was a likable guy named Ron. Ron attended Fort Hays State on a wrestling scholarship and was from Northwest Colorado. He was a devout hunter and thoroughly hooked on elk hunting. During some of our evening conversations, he'd share elk hunting stories, and even from across the room in dim light, I could see his eyes glaze over as he told me those stories. He was already in a different place in his mind. I mentioned that it was the first half of that year because elk, and a girlfriend, eventually pulled him closer to home to attend school. Later, during my first couple of years in Alaska, the first principal I worked for, who was also from Northwest Colorado, used to tell elk stories, even as we were out hunting caribou, and it had the same effect on him. During my few years back in Kansas, taking care of my grandfather, I put in for a Kansas elk tag each year. Kansas has a couple of very small herds and spots, and they give out a very, very limited number of tags. I never did score on an elk tag, so I've never hunted elk. It remains a bucket list item. In concluding, No, elk aren't a Bristol Bay species, but they are a species with a historical past in our state, and populations that have been here in recent times since the 1920s, which, to my mind, makes them fairly established. They are found in huntable numbers and are something Alaskans can reasonably have a chance of hunting at some point in their lives, if they so choose. They are indisputably a majestic symbol of North America's wilderness. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.